are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to this final episode of this week for Locked On Saints, brought to you by Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your host covering your New Orleans Saints every single Monday through Friday. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. Once you go Built Bar, you never go back. Bar. Nailed it. Go to builtbar.com and be sure to use the promo code locked on, all caps, all one word, to get $10 off of your first box. On today's episode, we're closing out the week strong. We got the NFL schedule, which has been released finally. So we'll go through the Saints 2020 matchups and set the scene at the top. Then we'll dive into game-by-game predictions. What's the offseason outlook on the Saints regular season so far? Will the Saints make the playoffs? Which games will be the most high scoring? We'll go through all of that, and I'm very much looking forward to it. And then we'll wrap up our show with your questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group, including two bold predictions ahead of the Saints 2020 season, and why the hell is Austin Carr back on this roster? We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. Big quarterback matchups, a little bit of Christmas joy, and even some contingency plans. The Saints 2020 season has been released. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. So let's go ahead and dive in to the Saints 2020 season schedule. We'll start off with the preseason, but go through it pretty quickly. Set to begin the week of August 13th through 17th, the Saints will head to Los Angeles to take on the Rams, then to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers before returning home to host both the Houston Texans and the Miami Dolphins. The Rams, Texans, Dolphins, very familiar preseason opponents for the Saints. Seems very likely that if it were allowed that the Saints would be holding joint practices with either the Rams ahead of the first game or the Texans ahead of the third. But it's nice that they go away for two games and then they come back to host two preseason games because they'll open up the regular season at home in the Dome in the national spotlight at 3:25 on Fox, which is probably going to be America's game of the week. So it'll be a nationally televised game that afternoon hosting the division rival and now Tom Brady-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Pretty much as we expected that this would be the game that kicked off the season for New Orleans. Drew Brees versus Tom Brady. It's a fantastic sort of look for both of these teams, and it's a really, really great attraction for the NFL as well, who may be starting a season without fans in the stands. They're going to want to get TV ratings up, and that's a great way to do it. The Saints will then travel to Las Vegas for their first primetime game, their first of five primetime games this season. This is one of four that takes place in the evening. I'll explain that in a moment, but they head to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders. That'll be the Raiders' inaugural home game, so the Saints will be the first visiting opponent in Allegiant Stadium, the new home of the new and improved Las Vegas Raiders. Then they'll come back home to host the Green Bay Packers. You got Brees versus Brady in week one. Now you've got Brees versus Rodgers in week three. They'll continue their NFC North bouts by heading up to take on the Detroit Lions, coming back home to host maybe Tyrod Taylor, maybe Justin Herbert by this time in week five against the Los Angeles Chargers. That's another Monday night football game for the Saints. The Raiders game is a Monday night football game, and the Packers game is a Sunday night football game. So again, the Saints getting three national spotlight primetime games in just the first 5 weeks. They'll follow that up with a bye week, but then stay at home to host the Panthers at noon. So they welcome Teddy Bridgewater back to the Superdome. Then they get their first little road trip in here, heading to Chicago to take on the Bears November 1st, and then heading to Tampa Bay for Brees versus Brady Part 2. That will also be a Sunday night game, 7:20 on NBC. After two back-to-back games on the road, they'll head back home for two back-to-back games in the Dome, hosting the San Francisco 49ers, welcoming them back after the electrifying 48-46 loss last year. That is an afternoon game on Fox, probably, again, America's game of the week. Then they'll host the rival Atlanta Falcons. That's the first game out of two in 3 weeks because they'll host them again in week 13 on December 6th. But before that, they'll travel to Denver. So this is the important stretch here. They'll go on the road at Denver, at Atlanta, and then at Philadelphia before coming back home to host the Kansas City Chiefs. then staying home to host the Minnesota Vikings on Christmas Day, which is a Friday game, which we'll talk a little bit more about here in a moment. And then they'll close out the season once again against the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte. So I want to talk a little bit about the Christmas game, which is going to be aired on Fox, NFL Network, as well as Amazon for now. That'll be a 3:30 game on Friday, Christmas Day, December 25th. Why is this game so important? So this Friday game takes the place of a potential Thursday game for the Saints. The Saints will play any Thursday games because they have this Friday game instead. And I've seen a lot of people worried about the fact that it's a five-day turnaround to go from Sunday to Friday, and that's unfair for the Saints. But remember, they're usually playing a Thursday game in their schedule, which is usually a four-day turnaround. So this is actually a little bit better for the team in terms of getting an additional day of rest than what is usually that short turnaround to a Thursday game. So that's a little bit of a silver lining. Now, it stinks that they go on the road three games in a row and then come home to take on the Kansas City Chiefs and then have to turn around 5 days later to play the Minnesota Vikings. But in terms of the actual time of rest, it's not that big of a deal. And I've seen a lot of people concerned about it, but it's actually better than the usual Thursday game that this game will take the place of. So that's basically the bones of the schedule. Let's talk a little bit real quick about what happens if the coronavirus or COVID-19 pandemic pushes the season back. How has the NFL prepared for that? So in preparation for the games being delayed, the NFL has stated that if the start of the season is delayed, that early games could occur after week 17 and the Super Bowl, which is currently scheduled for February 7th, could be pushed back by a few weeks. Any week can serve as opening week, and every team shares the same bye week as their week 2 opponent. So if the first 2 weeks, for instance, end up getting delayed, the first week could end up getting pushed to after week 17, and then the second week could end up switching to the bye week potentially. So the NFL has actually done a pretty good job here at making sure that they can maintain the full 16-game schedule, even if it has to start a little late. So I'm loving this schedule for the Saints. I think it's going to be a very exciting 2020 season. There are certainly some rough patches. There are also some lighter patches as well throughout, but we'll talk a little bit more on a game-by-game basis, taking a look at some predictions and giving a 2020 roster prediction from at least this far out in the offseason. We'll see how much we change it as we move forward closer to the year. And of course, we'll get to your questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group, which you're always welcome to participate in by joining that group at facebook.com/groups/LockedOnSaints. We'll get to your questions in a moment, but first we're going to jump into 2020 season predictions. Got that coming up for you next year on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Don't forget, everybody, Locked On Saints is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. They've got some fantastic flavors, some of my favorites, including the mint brownie delight for me, which I absolutely love. I'm a freak for mint and chocolate. I remember buying my big gallons of Bluebell mint chocolate chip ice cream when I was a kid. This takes me back to that, which is fantastic. And the thing about it is that 15 grams of protein in that bar, only 110 calories and 4 grams of sugar, much better than the days where I used to sit back and eat a gallon of Bluebell. So I'm all about these Built Bars right now, man, and I love them. And I would love for y'all to give them a try as well. When I say that they taste like candy bars, they absolutely do. But like I said, only 110 calories and 4 grams of sugar, they give you some sustainable energy with those 15 grams of protein. So try them out for yourself, builtbar.com, and be sure to use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, all caps, all one word, to get $10 off the first box that you buy. Remember, you're going to be able to customize those boxes as well, so you can choose whatever flavors you want. Get $10 off with the promo code Locked On at builtbar.com. All right, y'all, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, I ask if you are not yet subscribed to the podcast that you please take a moment, whether you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever it is that you're checking us out and that you found us, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop a review for us as well, as that's all extremely helpful for myself, extremely helpful for the show, and extremely helpful for the network and listenership as well, as it continues to expand the reach of the podcast. So I appreciate you taking the time to do that. We're continuing on with our schedule release reaction episode, if you will. We talked a little bit about sort of the bare bones schedule game by game, a little bit of the storylines for each one of those. But let's talk a little bit more in depth now and go game by game and give some actual predictions. And we'll end this segment with a 2020 season prediction at this point. Now, again, our outlook is very far away right now. We don't even know what the 53-man roster is going to look like. We don't know who's going to, be available to even start the season at this point, with question marks still looming out there, like Kiko Alonso, for instance, rookies like Zach Bond. We have a lot to figure out, but, where are these guys all going to fit, things like that. But we can have a little bit of fun, and we can sort of look at this on an initial reaction basis and figure out where it is that the Saints could stand at the end of the 2020 season. So let's kick this off with the kickoff, of course, of the season for the Saints. Brady versus Breeze, part one. It's going to be in the dome at home. The big thing for me is that, first of all, the Saints kind of suck on opening games, right? We've seen it, right? I'm not lying. We've seen it. Five straight losses in opening games up until last season. Did they exercise the demons last year? Maybe. But did they exercise them for a long time? I don't know. The other part of it is that there might not be fans in the stands at this point in the season. So that's something we have to consider as well. So it's a home game, potentially with no fans, in a slot that the Saints usually lose, going up against Tom Brady, the big sort of national spotlight. I'm not really worried about Tom Brady. I'm more worried about the attention that comes with playing Tom Brady twice a year, if that makes sense. So for this moment, I'm going to give the Saints an L, the early, with the first game of the season. So start off 0-1, but don't worry, they get right back on the horse pretty quickly. Traveling to Las Vegas, getting a win in a brand new dome, in a brand new environment, again, potentially without fans for Las Vegas. So that's going to be kind of crazy for them in a brand new space and a brand new home and having really nothing to play off of there aside from unfamiliarity. So that I'm going to give the Saints a win. So that's going to put them at 1-1. Then the Saints travel back to Green Bay. Oh, and that's also a primetime game as well. Monday Night Football, Drew Brees performs well there. He'll find some record to break. He'll find a way to do it. He'll figure something out, I'm sure. And then he'll come back to New Orleans in a second straight primetime game, this time Sunday night against the Green Bay Packers. Going to give the Saints a win there as well. I think just that when you look at the way that the Saints team is built right now for this season versus the way that Green Bay's team is built, I don't see Green Bay having enough offensive firepower right now to take on the Saints and the offensive firepower that they should possess at the beginning of the 2020 season. The big thing is, can the Saints offense overcome the Green Bay defense, which was very, very good early last season? Is Green Bay's defense going to be as effective early in 2020? Doesn't really matter to me. I think that the Saints can win this one at home. So that puts them up to 2-1. They go on the road, take on Detroit. They win that, come back home for another primetime game against the Los Angeles Chargers. I think that's another win for the Saints, although that is a game that I'm very excited to see. The Saints and the Chargers have so much intertwined history with one another, both history UDFA destinations, Drew Brees, Darren Sproles, so many good things happening between those two franchises. So I'm always very interested when they play, but they're either going to be led by Tyrod Taylor or the rookie Justin Herbert by that time. So I give the Saints the win there as well. So after starting off 0-1, they go into the bye week 4-1, and then they continue the win streak for a little bit after this. Hosting Carolina after the bye week, the Saints usually perform very well off the bye. I know last year was an exception, but this will not be. They get the win against Carolina. They travel to Chicago November 1st, early enough that it could be late enough in the year that it could be considered a cold weather game, but early enough that it's not a cold weather game, if you know what I mean. So I think that they can go and they can win there. So that boosts them up to then 6-1. Then they travel to Tampa Bay at Raymond James Stadium for another primetime game. They get a win there as well, to sort of redeem themselves after the opening week loss. I do think that they split that series, so that helps a ton in terms of lifting them up to 7-1. Then they go 8-1 against San Francisco, bringing them back at home. Here's the thing. I think there's going to be a little bit of a revenge game there, but also the fact of the matter is that San Francisco against New Orleans, like New Orleans caps off a really tough road for San Francisco. That tough stretch includes traveling to New England, which again, the New England team might not be very good this year, but that's the furthest that the San Francisco 49ers have to travel this season. So they travel all the way to New England, then they go back, then they travel up to Seattle, then they go back to take on Green Bay the week before they travel to New Orleans to take on the Saints. That's their toughest stretch. New Orleans is seated right at the end of that, so I think they could take advantage of that, get a win. That boosts them up to 8-1. This feels a lot like that 2018 season where the Saints lost the first game and then went on a huge win streak. That's kind of what I'm building here, because there's some similarities between this schedule and that schedule, including the three game road trip that we're just one game away from. Atlanta, they take on next, though. They host at home. I think the Saints get a win there, 9 5-1. Then they go to Denver to take on the Broncos, who I think are much, much, much improved this season. But I think that there's still going to be a little bit of communication issues. There's going to be a little bit in terms of them not getting training camp under their belts, not developing any familiarity. And that's a young team that could suffer for it. Although I do think that they are a surprise team that could push in the AFC West for a potential wild card spot in the AFC. But I think the Saints can get a win there, 10-1. Then they travel to Atlanta. So this is in the middle of their three-game road trip here. So they go Denver, Atlanta, Philly. In Atlanta, I think that the Saints split this conference, or rather division matchup, just like they did with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That puts them at 10-2. Then they travel to Philly. Now, not many teams that go on a three-game road trip end up winning the third game of that road trip. Philly, though, I think the Saints can go in there and win. Who knows who the quarterback will be at that point in the season? So the Saints can buck the trend, go 11-2. Then they travel back home to take on Kansas City, which is just a tough matchup to take after a three-game road trip. Kansas City has a bye, then Las Vegas at Allegiant, then at Tampa Bay, then they're home versus Denver, on the road versus Miami, and then they come to New Orleans. So the travel could take a little bit out of them, but in terms of the competition, not a ton of competition in that five-game stretch there, New Orleans being the cap off. I think that Kansas City can come in and get a win at home, but I'm hoping that at that point, maybe the fans are back in the stands, and that ends up being a huge, huge, huge win factor for the Saints, who are going to be in the national spotlight in that game, even though it's not in prime time. Should be one of the national afternoon games. I'm going to give them a loss for now, but I'm ready to change that to a win in place of maybe that third road trip game. We'll see exactly how it works, but it's tough to come off of three road trip games and then take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, that's going to be tough. So I'm going to put them right now at 11-3 with that loss. That would be the third loss of the season. Then they stay home, get a little bit of rest. Minnesota comes to town on Christmas Day. Again, it's a better scenario than if the Saints had a Thursday night game, because they're going to have a Friday night game on the Christmas Day game. Stinks to take them away from the family. Honestly, stinks a little bit for viewership too, because not many of us want to, you know, bail on our family to watch the football game, although every one of us will, that's for certain, or we'll all watch it together, and then it becomes a family activity. That's the way that it should be. But Minnesota comes to town, the Saints get revenge on that wild card game, they get the win there, go 12-3, and then by that point, I think that the Saints are in pretty good position to just sit back week 17, let Taysom Hill get some reps up against Teddy Bridgewater, which would be a lot of fun, or potentially Jameis Winston get some reps against Teddy Bridgewater, and then take the L there, because it won't matter. I think the Saints will be in very good position, potentially in conversation for that number one seed at that point, but at least having already locked up the NFC South by then with a fantastic record. They can finish the season 12-4 and do great. They finished the last two seasons 13-3. Not a lot of seasons, not a lot of teams go 3 years in a row 13-3. I'm perfectly happy with a 12-4, even an 11-5 finish for the Saints this year, because that's going to get them into the playoffs. But of course, if you can get 12-4, that increases your likelihood of getting that number one seed in the NFC, which is going to be highly, highly coveted as the only team within each conference, that number one seed, to actually get the first round bye. And the Saints will be able to use that first round bye after that final six game stretch of at Denver, at Atlanta, at Philadelphia, home against Kansas City, home against Minnesota, and then on the road against Carolina. They'll want a little bit of rest. They want that number one seed, and I think they can get it this year with a 12-4 record. So let me know what you think. Hit me up on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Call the Locked On Saints listener line, 504-229-4265, 504-229-4265, or join the Locked On Saints Facebook group at facebook.com/group/LockedOnSaints. And let me know what you think. What are your roster predictions? What are your bold predictions for the Saints 2020 season? And tell me, roast me. Tell me if I'm crazy in terms of the games that I picked for the Saints to win versus the games that I picked for the Saints to lose. Let me know what you think, because this show, again, just as much about all of you, and certainly because all of you, and I thank you for that, as it is about just me. So let me hear from you, and let me hear what your thoughts are on the Saints 2020 season. Coming up next, we are going to hear from you, because some of you came through over at the Locked On Saints Facebook group to drop some questions for Facebook Friday. Got those coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, y'all, time to start that competition today with the most important people in your mom's life, because Mother's Day is her Super Bowl. So let's celebrate this Mother's Day by scoring her her favorite gift of the day. Your mom's going to be able to travel in her mind to idyllic India, sample the food, and laugh at all of the perils that come with raising a teenager in 1950s India through a new book of fiction called The Hannah Artist. By the way, it's Reese Witherspoon's book club's pick for May, and anytime in May, post a picture of your mom or yourself holding the ebook or the hard copy book on Instagram or Facebook and tag the author at The Alka Joshi. A donation of 4 meals per post up to 10,000 meals will go to Feeding America. So y'all, buy The Hannah Artist today at your favorite bookseller, including Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Walmart, Costco, or Target, and make mom the ultimate winner in your family. All right, family, wrapping up today's episode with your questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group. Once again, you can join at facebook.com/group/LockedOnSaints. So we'll get to our first question here from Sean Militello, who asks, do you think that there's a chance that the NFC South could be the best division in football from top to bottom? I feel like we'll see 3 teams out of the NFC South make the playoffs. I think so. I mean, look, if you look at it with the Saints and the Bucks at the top of the division, which makes a lot of sense, it kind of comes down to who becomes the third team. Can Atlanta be good this season? And they certainly have the offense to do it. They have the pieces on paper to do it. We just haven't seen them execute under Dan Quinn very well. So with that being, you know, so we kind of have to see what ends up being the case for them. And of course, there's Carolina too, who I don't think are a great team this year, but can be a very good team very soon. It's just going to take a little bit of time with all the new pieces that they have there, particularly in the leadership category with new coach, new offensive coordinator, so on and so forth. So it depends on how good that third team is versus how good the third team is in other divisions. You look at the NFC North, for instance, the Packers and Vikings clearly at the top of that. But can either one team, the Lions or the Bears, be better than the Falcons or the Panthers? I'm not too sure. You look over at the NFC West, for instance, you have clearly the two top teams in that division in San Francisco and Seattle. But can the Rams or the Cardinals be better than the Falcons or the Panthers? And I think the Rams potentially could in a couple years, but not this year, because they're so busy trying to scratch their way out of cap hell right now that they're going to have a lot of trouble going into the 2020 season, a little bit unprepared and unfamiliar with one another. You know, the AFC West could be in the conversation as well, depending on how good, you know, everybody behind the Chiefs could be. But in terms of having the most good teams in a single division, I do think that the NFC South is setting themselves apart with having at least 3 teams that could be in playoff contention this season. Now we're jumping over to the good homie Tomas, who always comes through. Appreciate you always coming through, man. What's your over under in terms of wins for the Saints this season? So I picked them at 12 wins, but I would say if you're going to set the over under somewhere, you want to set the over under where people are going to bet maybe a little bit under, maybe a little bit above. So if you look at it as a double digit type of a threshold, I can see the over under at maybe 9.5 or 10.5 wins for the Saints. So it basically just asks you, do you think that the Saints can win 9 games, or do you think that 9 or less games, or do you think that the Saints can win 10 or more games? I think that that might be a good place for it. 10.5 would be the same thing. 10 or less, or 11 or more, that's probably a sweeter position for an over under. So that's probably where I'd set it, at 10.5 for the Saints going into 2020. So up next, we've got Scott Wishart, who's basically asking about depth at the corner position, which is something I've talked about so many times on the show, because I think that it's so important. And I agree 100% with Scott that there's not a lot of certainty behind guys like Lattimore and Jenkins. And for me, the other more promising cornerback being CJ Gardner-Johnson, operating, I know he's a safety, but operating as a nickel cornerback in the Saints nickel-based defense. That's kind of what I'm looking for there. But certainly want to see more from this team in terms of addressing the boundary corner positions as well. I don't have a ton of faith in, like a Dietrich Nichols translating from the XFL to the NFL. I have to wait to see that. You've got 2 undrafted free agents, Tino Ellis and Keith Washington, who do have some potential, but again, they're undrafted free agents. So we'll see exactly what happens with them. Hard for me to give an outlook on them from this perspective, although Keith Washington is intriguing with his size and speed in that combination. Justin Hardy, somebody that I trust in late game situations, but that, you know, I don't necessarily want to put Justin Hardy out there when Marshon Lattimore is injured and all of a sudden he's he's your top corner, things like that. So I'm a little bit concerned here in terms of what the Saints are going to do at boundary corner, providing depth for themselves there, because I don't trust any of the safeties to move over. And I certainly don't trust Patrick Robinson or PJ Williams on the outside for that matter as well. So I'd love to see them go back to free agency. I talked about some of the guys that they could target that are still available. I'd love to see them maybe take that route to see exactly what it is. Or perhaps they get something back in a piece in a trade for Larry Warford if they decide to move him. We'll see exactly what happens there. Got two more similar questions here from Michael Murray, who asks about whether or not the Saints made a mistake in not bringing in another corner, and if they did get a corner, who would be the target at this point? And Brian Williams mentioned, do you think that Eli Apple could be back to shore up a cornerback spot? If Eli Apple is healthy, he's the answer to Murray's question, and the answer to Brian's question is yes. I think Eli Apple makes the most sense. We're seeing the Saints go so far deep into their familiarity theme that they actually brought back Austin Carr, which I cannot understand for the life of me. So if you're going to go that far deep into your you know, familiarity bag and into your Rolodex there, then you could absolutely bring back Eli Apple if he's healthy. A couple of other names, guys that I've mentioned numerous times here on the show already, Darquez Dennard, Drake Kirkpatrick, and then I guess you could probably throw Logan Ryan in there as well, though I see him as a little bit more of a slot guy than an outside guy, but still, at this point, any depth you can get is going to be helpful. So those are the guys that I look at. Michael Murray's other question was about Taysom Hill and his role this year. I've mentioned this a bunch, and Sean Payton talked about it, so I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you anything new here, but Taysom Hill, no special teams role, I imagine, in 2020. Still playing the usual offensive role, though, as the Swiss Army knife type of a guy, the offensive weapon, receiver, runner, blocker, that type of a thing, while also being the immediate backup quarterback, at least to start the season. With Jameis Winston in the building, it helps you a lot, because you can still use Taysom Hill in the offensive role. If he gets hurt, then you still have a very formidable backup in Jameis Winston. Zach Smith asks, what's your over under 125 catches for Michael Thomas? I'm going to go under. That's one of my actual bold predictions for the 2020 season. I think that with Emmanuel Sanders in the building, Jared Cook healthy, Taysom Hill continuing his offensive role, hopefully Tre'Quan Smith taking the next step, whatever, that you know, you get back to a little bit more of a manageable, I guess, load share is the right word. So that he's a little bit back toward that 2017-2018 share in terms of targets, as opposed to the 149 that he saw, or catches that he saw in 2019. So that's really what I look for him, is under 125 catches, because he doesn't need to be that guy anymore with Emmanuel Sanders in the building. Now, if Emmanuel Sanders gets hurt, 300 catches for Michael Thomas, easy, 2020, bank it now. Alvaro Lopez asks, man, what's up with the Saints and Austin Carr? Also, could you see the Saints trading or cutting both Warford and Eason? I mentioned before, I see the Saints trading Warford. I don't change my stance on that, but I think it's one or the other, Warford or Eason, that gets traded. But I could see the Saints doing it for sure, because it saves a ton of cap space for them, getting rid of Larry Warford, and allows them to potentially bring in some of those other positions that we feel like the Saints still could address, like more depth and more competition at linebacker, more depth at the defensive end position, more depth at the boundary corner, and potentially other wide receivers as well, with some late free agent acquisitions after training camp and things like that, when some of those guys end up getting cut for cap casualty purposes. And then as for Austin Carr, look, I love Austin Carr as a person. I think he's a great guy. He just had a son, which is super exciting. We saw him like playing piano and singing, like having a lot of fun. He had some rhythm in him. I love that. And he's just been a good asset in terms of what the Saints need in camp. And I think that's a little bit of what his role is going to be at this point, with an opportunity to prove himself back onto the roster, because I know how much Sean Payton and Drew Brees love Austin Carr and want him involved in this team. I don't know that he makes a roster in 2020, to be completely honest with you, but I think that he can give these younger guys a little something to say, look, this is how you learn this offense quickly. And that's what they need right now, because the offseason is a bit truncated in terms of those training activities. And so I think that Austin Carr can be very valuable in that perspective. Going over to Dylan Finch now, who asks, what's your record prediction for the Saints this year, and two bold predictions for this season? So you got my record prediction, 12-4, in the last segment. I broke that one down. But in terms of bold predictions for the season, I got two for you. Easy. Outside of the lack of catches by Michael Thomas, or I don't want to say lack of catches, like over 100, between 100 and 125, still a lot of catches, y'all. I just don't think he's going to get up to 149 again. But for two predictions for you, Alvin Kamara over 1,000 yards rushing just on the ground, singular, in 2020. I think that's because he's on a contract year, coming off of injury, looking much better, feeling much better, excited to get back out on the field, and is going to be working for a new contract. And I believe that the Saints' run focus is going to be a little bit stronger in 2020, built toward the idea of extending Drew Brees a little bit deeper into the season and into the postseason as they hope to make a very, 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 very deep playoff run all the way to the Super Bowl. And then my second bold prediction is that the Saints have a top 10 passing defense this year, which is something we haven't seen in quite a while. But remember, when the Saints were able to put together a good pass defense and a good run game, they won a Super Bowl back in 2009. So that's what I'm looking for them to repeat in 2020, and if they want to get that second Lombardi for Drew Brees. Joseph Spada asks, see you guys in Vegas. I'm telling you, I'm not even lying. If we are allowed to be in the stands and everything like that at that Vegas game, we're doing a Locked On Saints meetup at Allegiant Stadium. There's no question about it. As long as everything is lifted and everybody's safe and we can do it, I'm 100% down. I will see you guys in Vegas for sure. And then the homie AJ is going to wrap us up here. Thoughts on the impact that drafting Zach Bond will have on Caden Ellis's progression into the rotation. I think it gets in his way because Zach Bond becomes an immediate starter, if nothing else at the Sam position, although they like him at the Mike position as well. But it affects his ability to get involved in the rotation for what would have been a potential open spot because AJ Klein's gone. Kiko Alonso may not be ready for the top of the season. So that puts Craig Robertson and Caden Ellis in a little bit of a rotation for that Sam position potentially, but with Zach Bond in, that gives you three starting linebackers immediately. So I think that it gets in his way in terms of rotation, but it doesn't get in his way in terms of making the roster at a key depth position, if that makes sense. So that's kind of the way that I look at it. I think Caden's going to be a factor in special teams, but also be a factor in the key depth of this team at the second level. So the loss there, or the ripple effect there, is present, but not enough that it's going to keep him off the team or anything like that. So, all right, y'all, that does it. We hit all the questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group. Remember, we do this every Friday, facebook.com/groups/Locked On Saints, if you want to join. I thank you so much, everybody, as always, for coming through. I will see you next week as we continue to break down the schedule, as we continue to get ready for the 2020 season and training camp, everything that's going on there. And of course, we have our NFC North crossover segments series all happening throughout next week as well, Monday through Thursday. So you'll catch those, as well as any updates on the news of the day throughout the week for the New Orleans Saints. I thank you so much, everybody, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support. If you're helping me grow this family, this has been Locked On Saints. And trust Hudet Nation, I'll holla at you.